Supermamas, this is Paulina, and today our financial guru Ramon Ortega from My Money, My Future is back to talk to us about legacy planning. I know some of you may be wondering what that is, and it might sound a bit intimidating, but don't worry, Ramona will break it down for us into easy steps. Also, mark your calendar, ladies. We'll be at Macy's in Los Cerritos Center, Saturday, September 16 at 2 p.m. to kick off their Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. So if you're in the area, please, please stop by. We would love to meet all of our Supermama Sister Squad. Okay, now grab a pen and paper and let's talk about money.
Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and he was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Risa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right.
Nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamás! Hello.
Hello, sisters.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to yet another episode of your favorite podcast, Super Mama.
I'm still here.
Paulina's still here. She's still pregnant.
So very, very pregnant.
No tears today.
No tears today. Thank you to everybody that reached out to me. That was very nice. I think like that's one of my favorite things like that has happened after the show. It's like, I don't feel alone. You know, every time I ask somebody mm-hmm. a question, they answer. Like, I feel like I know everybody. And everybody was so kind with their words. So thank you, ladies. That really made me feel good. And also, like, people that felt the same as me. We were, like, bonding over that. Like, crying over DMs and everything. So that was pretty cool.
It goes down in the DM.
What happens in the DM stays in the DM.
So how was your weekend?
It was good. It was...
How was the baby preparations going?
This morning I woke up and my house was a mess.
Mm.
And I was like, what can I do at this point? Like, right? I'm like, it is what it is. I realized, I don't know if it happens to you, but when you stay home, like all you do is clean or cook.
Yeah.
Like all day long.
And reorganize.
And then I woke up and it was the same. And I was like, what's the point? You know, girls, whatever. Just help me out. But they are so helpful. Yeah, I realize that they're very independent now, and I train them. When you say prepare them this whole time. So Sabina puts on her clothes in the morning. She chooses her own clothes. He puts her own clothes. She just brings me whatever she wants me to put on her hair. Krista already knows where her uniforms are. She does her bed before going to school. So they're very helpful. So I'm really happy with that. We'll see how it goes.
Well, that's great. Then you space them out perfectly.
Yeah.
Krista is going to be six
in a few weeks. Sabina's going to be three, and then the baby, and it's working out really good.
That's great. It's going to be like a piece of cake.
Hopefully. I'm getting a little nervous, but yeah.
Well, I stayed home basically all last week with the baby.
Because yeah.
I love how I still call him the baby.
I know. We all call him the baby. Bring the baby.
Bring the baby. Tell the baby. And he's like 2.5 already.
Yeah.
So it's funny how I still call him the baby. But yeah, I stayed home.
But what do you call
baby.
Him? Like the toddler?
The toddler.
I stay with the toddler.
My son?
Yo, your son. Or Eduardo.
Eduardo.
Yeah, that's true.
I stayed with him this past week because it was his summer break of a week. It was just like the break he had in between his summer school and his regular school year, which started today. So it was great. I had a really good time with him. It was really fun staying with him. I hadn't stayed with him. Like, it was really, really hot in Los Angeles this past week.
So hot.
I think one of the days started was like 104. So I know our sisters who are listening in like
Arizona.
In Arizona, I probably like, what? That's like nothing. But it's really hot for LA. And I wanted to go to Disneyland.
I know, mom told me. And then I went outside and I was like, I hope she's not in Disneyland with this weather.
No, I was really planning on going to Disney with him. I really wanted to take him to Disneyland because I thought it would be fun. Just the two of us go and like bond. And then I checked the weather. It was going to be 98 and 104. Mm-hmm. I was like, so we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay here and figure out what to do. You're going to help mom organize and clean.
Mom's favorite pastime. Mom's,
so it's... You know, it's really funny because he can organize and clean as well. So it's really funny. One funny thing that happened to me this week is, so I was obviously me and him by ourselves. So I had to go to the restroom, you know, I need to leave with the door open. I can't just go to the restroom with the door closed and leave my child outside.
You could. That's what I do.
And it was like that time of the month.
Oh, yeah.
And he came in and he opened my drawer. And took out all of my tampons. First of all, he was like, what's that, mommy? What's that? And I was like, it's a tampon. What are you doing? I was like, I have a period. And then he was like, I want tampons. So I was like, no, these are mommy's things, like respect. You know, that's what I tell him. But he did not respect. So he grabbed all the tampons. And then when I came out, so he went from the bathroom to my bedroom. And when I came outside the bedroom, they were all laid out. And he was like, orange, purple, pink.
Oh, that means they're cute tampons.
1, 2, 3. And I was like, oh,
you should have taken a picture.
I thought about it. I really tried to stay away from social media this past week. I kind of took a break. I haven't from it all because I just wanted to be with my kid. And I thought that was a really good. Yeah. I haven't really checked Instagram. I haven't really checked Facebook. I do want to take this opportunity to send lots of love to all our sisters who are in Houston.
Yeah, much love to you, ladies.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what moms are going through right now. Yeah. I know a lot of people in the mom community have donated to the diaper bank. I know we have. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the last things I posted on social media. Just because I think that's when social media is very powerful, is when we can actually help and give back. And just it even kind of jolted me a little bit of are we prepared for a disaster?
Yeah.
You know, for a natural disaster, things are out of our, there's some things that we can control, but we can influence. Mm-hmm. And, I just, take this opportunity, ladies, and really prepare for something that can happen. And that's right what we're going to talk about today, about how to be financially prepared. Not necessarily for a disaster, but just to be prepared, for life. We have Ramona Ortega.
Even for a disaster, do you have money saved, mm-hmm. you know, to fix everything that.
Yeah, do you have insurance? You know, there's so many things that, we need to be prepared because whether it's Houston or Miami or anyone, here in California, I'm always freaking out about earthquakes. but are we prepared? Do we have water at home? Are our finances in a position where something happens? We can, do you know the name of your insurance company? Do you have your policy number stored somewhere? So just, again, make sure that we are prepared for anything. And, lots of love to our Houston sisters. And if you guys know of anyone or if you yourself are going through something, reach out to us. Please send us an email, info@supermamas.la. We'd love to help you in any way possible. Please let feel free. Know. Please reach out personally. Let us know how we can be of help. info@supermamas.la.
Yes. I cannot imagine everything that happened. So just be prepared, ladies. My sister is the preparer of the preparedness.
you can never be too prepared. But so without further ado, enjoy your interview with Ramona Ortega of My Money, My Future. Welcome back, Ramona.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back in LA with you, lady.
We're so happy to have you back.
You know, she was like, when did this happen? My belly.
Oh, you're, I know.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, because last time she saw you, you were stressing about whether you have a kid or not. How do you plan for a kid?
Yeah. And now it's. And I think I probably told you that you're never ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
It's sort of like there's certain things in life that you're not quite ever ready for.
Yeah.
Death, love, and children. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I am ready for: $1 million, $1 billion.
Yeah, I'm more in the unicorn world. I'm ready for the billion.
I'm ready for the billion. I'll tell you what I am ready for. Well, let's talk about financial planning. I'm so happy you're back. We had such a great response from your show last time. I know we touched on so many different things. I mean, like, you're such a fountain of information, and we wanted to kind of pick your brain left and right. And as soon as you walked in the door, we were already bombarding you with questions. Like, can we spend money on our boobs? Reconstructive surgery, as we call it. But let's talk about family, estate planning, legacy. What did you call it?
Yes, legacy planning. So, you know, we had talked a little bit about what we wanted to focus on in this time around, because I know I covered a lot last time. And financial planning, I always say it's not that it's complicated, right? We always think about, like, sort of finances, you know, the white man's world. And it's not about that. It's not complex, but it is a lot. There's many pieces to it, right? Which is why we always talk about building a financial foundation. That's the key. And that there's many elements to that. So the ones that we'll focus on today, a little bit more importantly, is on sort of family foundation things, whether that's a family, your own family, or your extended family. So legacy planning is something that, you know, often is thought about for the wealthy, right? Yeah. So when, for example, when I used to at UCLA undergrad, you know how the buildings have someone's name on it, a family name?
Yeah.
I'm like, how do they get their name on that building, right? Like, yo, why is there like no Latino names on these buildings? That's legacy planning, because someone has set up a trust or an estate. They've built wealth over time. And then they said, well, I want this money to go to these different things. And part of that is philanthropic giving. And we'll get to a little bit to that. But traditionally, it's used to, how do you protect the wealth that you've built over your generations to give to your family? So really, it's like paying it forward financially, right? And this is what we miss out on, or we have traditionally missed out on as communities of color. Right. This is the key to building wealth. And this is the key to also the racial wealth gap in this country. It's not that we don't work hard. It's not that we don't make money. It's that we haven't traditionally built legacies, financial legacies. So more recently, Jay-Z came out with his new album, which many
444.
Many of the tracks, and it's great. Many of the tracks still talk about finance, right? They're talking about legacies. They're talking about buying appreciable assets, the art piece. They're talking about buying property in Williamsburg or in Dumbo. So he is really pointing out the different things that he's done and saying, if you want to build well, this is how you have to do it. Now, he doesn't, clearly the album doesn't go into specifics, but what it does do is bring up the issue, right? Which is that other folks are doing this. We're not necessarily doing this. Here's some tips on how to do it. And so I really think that this is, if I do one thing right with my company and what I'm doing, it's building legacies in communities of color. It's helping people understand how to do
so
that.
So important, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I don't want my kids to struggle as much as we have. I want to have everyone in our community have opportunity. When we think about philanthropy, for example, all the organizations that we love and support, including Latinas for Reproductive Justice, shout out. You know, there's so many, right, that we can think of. I want to be able to give more money to these kinds of philanthropic efforts. That is done through legacy planning and wealth building. Mark Zuckerberg and his wife now have this whole philanthropic effort, Warren Buffett. Why are we not there? So what's happening is that they then get to decide which causes are important.
And funded. Right. Yeah, correct.
That's it. And as more as like the, before we get into like the huge picture with community and stuff, when you're talking about a family, are we talking about what, you know, we know as like la herencia?
Yes, exactly. So it's sort of what you're going to pass down and how you're going to do it, right? So that's the, what we call the sort of the macro picture, right? Yeah. The big picture. But what we do now, and when I say now, you know, young families, particularly in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, that's when we can start building that wealth and building the structures to pass down. And so again, what are kind of the tools that we use? One is life insurance. One is property.
Okay.
One is sort of what we call estate planning, which are trusts, wills, and then trusts, and a big picture. There are things like 529 plans, which are, we've talked about a little bit. We'll talk about a little bit more, which is more focused on education.
Okay.
And all of these things can be used for not only your immediate family, right? So your husband, children, et cetera, but also your extended family.
Right.
Because we know that in our communities, we're not only taking care of our own, but we're taking mm-hmm. care of maybe brothers, sisters, nephews, uncles, grandmas, tias, et cetera.
Right.
So how do we best plan for this? The other piece of estate, good estate planning, legacy planning, is also thinking about how to protect your parents' wealth, if right. they have Got any. It. And that could be anything from your restaurant, which you all have, could be a home, even if it's not worth a lot now. That I bet you someone's grandmother owns mm-hmm. a home in Boyle Heights that's yeah. now worth $1 million.
Yeah, yes. Yes,
yeah, for yeah. sure.
Right?
And what's the first step? Because I feel like when someone, you know, for just working class, here is like Warren Buffet. I don't even know his name. Buffet. Warren Buffet. Or, you know, at the Zuckerbergs of the world. Like when people hear those, they can't maybe get like, well, like I'm not there. So like, why should I plan? Right?
Yeah, right.
So it's such a misconception, like to think that you need to have that sort of wealth in order for you to plan. Like what's like if you were working family, let's say that maybe you don't own property, right? Because mm-hmm. some people would be like, you know, I don't even have anything. Like, what do I even have to pass on to my kids, if anything? Right. I think, like, do you have life insurance?
Right.
You know, do you have all these different things that you can plan for?
Sure.
So let's say, like, what would be step one? Or is there, like, an online guide? Is sure. something that you can fill out? Do we have to pay someone to do our estate planning? Like, what?
Sure. Let's start with what you just talked about. Because I'm actually, I don't own property. I've lived in New York forever. New York is an insane place.
Yes. Yeah. I was right. walking through Greenwich
Village.
Yeah. And yeah. I was just like, it's so beautiful. And I went on Redfin and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I couldn't even buy in my own building. That's how insane.
I was like, $24 million for a condo. I was right. like, where
With
am
no
I?
Yard.
$1 million?
Uh-huh. With no yard.
Yeah. I was like, $24 million for a condo for one bedroom. I was right. like, where am I?
Yeah. And it also just, you know, over the last 15 years, you've seen a huge inflation in terms of the prices of housing yeah. in the housing market, right? Which is what we've traditionally invested in as families. So you're seeing now a pullback from that because you just can't afford the down right. payment. So let's start with someone like myself. I was a single mom. I still am a single mom. I didn't have property. I don't have like a ton of money in my 401k because I've done all kinds of different jobs that never had a 401k. So I've got to catch up, right? Or I feel like I might not have a lot. First thing is first is get some life insurance, because if anything, if you don't have much, you have life insurance policy, you can at least pass that down, right? And it's going to cover the basics like burial things, but it's also going to hopefully give your immediate family members, whether that's your children and or your spouse or maybe parents or siblings, some additional money to then go forward, right? Nobody wants to think about how to bury your parents. Right.
It's expensive, yeah.
it's
right?
It's very expensive.
What's like a $30,000, $20,000 if
yes.
someone dies?
I mean, $15,000 at the minimum when you're in cremation. It's terrible, right? Yeah. So let's just say, though, starting from yourself, right? So if I have, you know, very little in the reserves and I don't have much and I want to start, I have a full-time job, mm-hmm. though. So one, I want to ask about the kind of life insurance that I get at my job. Right. So most jobs, sort of, you know, traditional 9-to-5s are going to have some kind of life insurance. So you want to ask about that policy and you want to make sure that you have the right beneficiaries. What's a beneficiary? It's the person who receives the money once you pass. Okay. You can put anyone as your beneficiary. I think there's a misconception that it automatically goes to the person you're married to or to your children. Sure. That's not true in a life insurance mm-hmm. plan because it's a contract. So you have to make sure that you allocate. So it could be maybe 50% to this child, 50% to that child, or 50% to my child, 50% to my sister. You can put as many allocations as you want. Mm. And because it's a contract, when you pass, that they're going to look at that contract. So that's the first thing. See if you have it at your work. Make sure your beneficiaries are up to date. We don't want to leave people on there. Perhaps you were married and now you're not, et cetera.
Got it.
Got to check that out. If you do not, or if that is a very low policy. So there's two main terms that you want to know about in life insurance. One is a term and one's a universal. Mm-hmm. Most jobs are going to offer term life insurance, which means they're going to cover you maybe for 10 to 15 years. The other piece is that if you leave that job, you are no longer covered. So you should additionally have your own policy. And the thing about life insurance is that you want to do it when you're young. because mm-hmm. the premium that you're going to pay every month or every year, depending on how you do it, is going to be lower when you're young and healthy.
Got it.
Okay. So you don't want to do it when you're sick.
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be more expensive. Yeah. So if you're in your late 20s, early 30s, now is the time to get to do it when you're young and healthy and your premiums are going to be low. And you want to look at a life insurance policy, especially if you have children, at the $100,000 threshold, if you can, right? So that $100,000 policy, if you're young and healthy, is going to be under $100. It should be under about $100 a month. Now, okay. that might be a lot. Again, you can adjust. And that will be for what we call usually a term policy. Mm-hmm. So 20 years, and you might be able to renew it. And those are the things that you need to look at in the policy itself. There is also something called a universal policy, which means that it's going to last forever, mm-hmm. right? And up front, you would think that that's the better policy, but it isn't always, because they're more expensive and they usually have a lot of fees associated with them. Because what they do is they say, well, you're going to pay into your policy and then we're going to invest some of that money for you. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And that's a whole other different show on understanding management fees and mutual funds. The one good thing about a universal policy is that you can sometimes borrow from it. Yes. So you're mm-hmm. building equity like a home. You're paying into something. And so sometimes you'll have like $3,000 extra and hey, maybe you need that. And they will loan it to you. So it's like a mutual fund. You can take a loan from it mm-hmm. and then pay it back. And it still is building equity. So if you have the right price on a universal plan, a universal life insurance plan, and you're young and you can afford maybe $100, that might be the right plan.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
And so depending on how much you're looking to cover yourself for, again, you usually, if you have kids, you want that 100 because that's enough to like set them up.
Right.
If you're single, you know, maybe you need only like the 50 to 60,000 range, but you also want to think about is there anyone in your family that you want to help out? Maybe you have a disabled brother, sister, nephew, niece, et cetera.
I have a question. I recently had a conversation with somebody and they brought up a term that I didn't hear before, which was the death tax.
Mm-hmm.
And about how like when somebody passes away and they leave you something, that you have to pay a lot of money over that. And it's better to like leave you the money when you're alive. And, you know, all these things that I was like, oh, I didn't even know. Like, because we're talking about people that don't have much already. And then they receive this money and they think they have this money, but they don't have that much.
Sure. So that's an estate tax. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of us will not be worried about the estate tax because it's only over $5 million.
Oh,
so you have to have $5 million in your estate for you to be taxed on it.
Okay.
You will have a lawyer by that time if you have that much money.
Okay.
So the good thing about a life insurance plan, so I die, my child receives that, or maybe my sister, that's not taxed.
Okay. Got below $5 million.
Well, your estate is not taxed, right? And you receive that money, you are not taxed on that money because it's a life insurance.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, okay.
You know. So there are little things that, yes, you should, you know, think about. If you're receiving a huge chunk of change, then there might be some tax liabilities if the estate is taxed. But generally, life insurance is just passed down. In a home, if you receive a home outside of like a trust, someone just passes down your home, you sell it, then there might be some capital gains tax. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. And capital gains tax is simply if you bought a house for $10,000 and it sold for $20,000, you need to pay taxes on the $10,000, right? Because that's basically what your profit.
Right.
So Uncle Sam's like, yeah, nah, you didn't work for that money. We want to take a little piece.
Yeah.
Uncle Sam always gets paid. That's called a capital gains tax. Same thing with stock. If you have a home, though, and you immediately buy another home, there's some loopholes around paying that tax. But generally, that's what a capital gains tax is.
Got it. So first step, buy life insurance. Second step, if you have a home, how do you pass that?
Sure.
On?
So if you are just doing a general will, you have a life insurance plan, that money is going to go directly to your kids. Let's say if you have a home and you're married, that's going to automatically pass down. And just make sure you have a will. You can.
Okay. So the will, like, is this something that you can do online by yourself? Do you just like.
You can.
You can just write it on WordPress on a piece of paper and then get it like a good Mexican, get it notarized.
In most states, as long as you have your signature, and you have a witness and they sign the witness signs, that's a legitimate will.
And you have to have it like somewhere where people find it. Like, yes. How do you? How, right.
So there's a number of ways now. And I would say that it's going to be based on how much you have. Look, if you have over $1 million worth of assets, I would seriously think about a trust. Okay. Right. So that means if your house has appreciated. Right. So let's talk about the grandma that has a house in uh-huh. Boyle Heights. And maybe it was two houses. So now she's got two properties. They're now worth, you know, 1.5. I would probably want to move those into a trust because that's a lot of money that's going to be transferred. And depending on how many people that's going to be divided by. But just as a regular family, you know, maybe you just rent, a will is good enough. Right. And so whatever things that you have that are of value, you might want to say how they're divvied up. If you're married, that's traditionally just going to go down to your husband or your spouse first and then your children. It's just there legally is a sort of chain of command.
Got it.
But a will help to make sure, let's say you have a 57 Chevy in your driveway that your dad gave to you. You know, you might want to say, well, that I definitely want to go to my son instead of somebody selling it.
Right.
Got it.
Right. So those are things like that that are very helpful to protect really almost personal things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How many
like
people
earrings?
How many people do we know have
like your wedding ring
over jewelry?
Yeah.
Totally. I went to Abuela's house and I'm going to go and start picking things that she told me that were mine.
Got it.
So that's what, and a will can be simple. There's lots of online places now that you can do a will, sort of these, you know, legal document centers for a basic will. We have some stuff on our website too that we can help.
Your website sort of, is?
www.mymoneymyfuture.co.
Got it.
Once you start getting into multiple assets, and assets I mean homes, things, cars, IRA accounts, you know, bank accounts, if you have multiple bank accounts, if you have CDs, a lot of older people have CDs, then you want to start to really think about the trust. But at the lower level, you really just need a will. And it also will help to stay out of probate court.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. Okay, so this is what we want to do. When people die, oftentimes they don't have a will, they don't have anything. Maybe there's three or four kids that are fighting over some of these things. Then it's going to go to probate, right? So things shut down. The bank you needs to usually shut down your account. So if you even had $5,000, nobody could be able to access it.
Right.
So we'll
not
talk about that.
Not even your husband?
Well, if they're on the account.
Oh, but if it's a joint account.
Right.
If it's just like a single account, no one can touch it?
So usually no one can touch it unless you have them named on your bank account as someone who is allowed to receive that money at death.
Got it.
Oh,
pay on death.
Yes,
it's pay on death. Okay. Right. So you should have that. If you go to your bank and ask them,
that's
you should have a card. There's like a name.
Yeah,
pay on death account.
And that stops you from going to probate.
Well, that money you can access
before
it does if you end up going to probate. Right. Exactly. So that's basically you're signing a contract with the bank that says I'll release this money to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So but everything else could go if you don't have a will and there's fighting.
Lots.
Which generally, unfortunately, or just sometimes the courts will get involved in because there's an asset, right? There's a home or there's additional assets that are not named.
And then question, what if there's a home let's say, I mean, obviously, like, it's not really your home unless it's paid for, right? I mean,
technically the bank and the mortgage company.
The mortgage company.
Yes, yes.
So, like, when something's like that, like, yeah, you pass on a home, but really you're not passing down a home, you're passing down a debt.
Well, you're passing down the title, yeah.
The title, right? But, like, this is the one thing that always trips me out in my head. Like, I mean, like, I'm the owner of a debt. Like, and there's that's a true. Home I live in.
Well, hopefully, but, like, it's not, but hopefully have some equity in it.
Yeah. Yeah. But equity, I mean, it's not really equity unless, like, you ask for it and then you still have to pay for the equity and a loan. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like free money. And I feel like that's a lot of, like, a misconception people think. Like, well, like, I have all this equity in my home. Like, yeah. But, like, if you want to touch the equity, it goes back on the loan. So, like, technically,
Unless
you sell it, right?
Right. Okay, that's what I think. That's
and then you
what
can cash out,
think.
Right?
Yes,
right,
unless you cash it out.
Unless you cash it out, but then you don't have a home.
But then you don't have a home.
Exactly. So that
and you buy another one,
right? Yeah, you buy another one, and you get into another debt.
Yeah.
But anyway, question is like, so you just pass that on, right? And let's say, so when you do pass that on, like, let's say you buy a house for $100,000, and now the house is worth $500,000. So there's a $400,000 equity in it. Mm-hmm. So when, let's say, I pass that home to somebody else, they would inherit the $500,000. Like, do they really, like, do they pay tax on that $400,000?
Not until they sell it.
Not until they sell it. So, right. So then, but they would still pass on, they would still be liable for the $100,000, like, note.
They become liable for the mortgage. Okay. Yes.
And if they can't pay it off, then they just sell it, right? And
then they would have to sell it.
They
could have some liability on the capital gains.
On the $400,000.
Yeah. Which is the capital gains, right?
I have a more basic question. Like, right, these are all like terms that some of us know, some of us don't know, right?
Right. Which is why I want to define them so people don't feel bad about they're super simple.
So my question is, like, you know, like, for example, our generation, it's more knowledgeable, like, cares more about these kind of things. We're trying to change the mindset. How would you suggest introducing all these concepts and ideas to our parents or grandparents? Because since I was thinking about it, it's like, it's such a cultural shock, right? Because in our culture, we don't talk about death. And then we grew up in this telenovela, you know, life where, like, you know, herencias, people fight over them and people kill over them. And, you know, and people are so scared to even talk about it. Like, if I go to my grandma and say, grandma, you should think about your herencia. They're like, why? They want to take my money. You know what I mean? So, like, real. This is real stuff that people are scared to talk about. Right. So what did you suggest? Like, how would you suggest, like, you know, would you say, like, you know, you should bring this up in a family conversation? Or, like, what would be, like, some tips that you would say? Because we're talking about ourselves, that we're like, okay, now we're going to do it for me, but I want to protect the people behind me. Right. My parents, my grandparents, my tios, you know, like, this is important because they have something that we should be protecting as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is a great question because I think this is becoming more and more important because we are the first generation, meaning sort of the Gen X, or sort of, you know, like our 30s, 40s, we're going to be the first generation to inherit big wealth in this country. And particularly Latinos will be the first time that we inherit. This will be, I know for me, it's the first time when my mom passes that I'll receive something
in our
family line. So that's a big deal. Like, what do you do with it, right? Mm-hmm. So key is trust. Mm-hmm. So the idea for the company was to empower us, our generation, one, to do these things now so we don't have to have these conversations later on, right? So we empower ourselves by having these conversations even with our husbands at that initial level, right? So we're building that kind of environment where we feel okay to talk about this stuff. And then two, it's up to you all to go into your families and start to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. My suggestion is find the person that's most respected in your family.
Okay.
And you sort of, as you level up, right? So it might not be you if you're the youngest. You may know the most, but it might not be you to have that conversation with your mother.
Right.
Right. And so whoever is maybe the eldest or, you know, that has the most respect in the family that can have those conversations, you approach them and say, you know what, we really should think about how we want to make sure that mom's taken care of, that dad's taken care of, that, you know, the house is taken care of. You know, those are the times to have those conversations before things happen. Because they always happen when something happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody gets to get out of the house, somebody needs money, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have those conversations then. So, and then for your grandparents, it really should be your mom.
Right.
And so you start to have those conversations, whether as a daughter, be like, mom, you know, I want to make sure that grandma's taken care of. What are we doing? What are we doing? So it's also the language. I would stay away from the head and tail language and be more about how do we make sure we take care of them when they get older and are getting sick.
And also, like, I think a good one would be like, how do we not let the government take our money?
There's that too.
I think that's a good one.
That's then a good one.
I think any Latino could relate to that.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't do this, this could happen. And it actually can. If nobody comes, the state will come and claim the property.
And a lot of the things that happen is also, like, I know my dad used to, like, you know, not trust the banks. And they keep a lot of their money, you know. He used to before, a long time ago. But now, like, you know, a lot of people that are working, or like people that work here at the restaurant and stuff, I know, like, they don't have bank accounts. They keep it, I don't even know where. So, like, you know, like, that is just something that is just flying up in the air. And, like, what would you suggest to, you know, kids of people that do those kind of things. Like, they keep it under the mattress, or I don't know, they have it hidden in a closet or something. Right. They have, and we don't, sometimes we're like, wow, you have that much money? Like, really?
I know.
You save that much money, and they're like, oh, we don't want it. You know, but how would you deal with something like that? Because that's a real thing that happens.
No, that's absolutely real. And one of the initiatives.
You still do that, Paulina.
You have some money in a locked
up. Have some money in paper.
Let's say this. If you are keeping money in your home, put it in a fire safe.
Yeah.
Lock. Mm-hmm. That is my biggest concern.
Okay.
One, it's losing money. People need to understand that it is losing money. If you have a significant amount of money sitting at home, it is losing because of inflation. Yeah. The dollar loses value, right? And so what you want to do is help grow your money. That's how all the rich get their money. They passive income, they take a big chunk of wealth and they let it grow.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's not growing. It's like having a plant and it's sitting in a pot and not in the ground. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's key. And then two, you got to protect it. Mm-hmm. And so the only way to protect, my big thing is fire. Like, if something happens, if you get robbed or if there's a fire, you have no insurance on that money. That money is gone.
Yeah. Well, I don't have cash in my house. People are going to show up.
She does not have cash.
I do not have cash in my house. But yeah, you know, that's like a really real thing with our community.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's a security thing. Like, my money's here. I'm watching over it. Nobody's going to touch it. I know exactly how much I have. I don't trust the banks, you know?
But there are banks. I mean, I think that's one of the things that we're really working on too, is the education piece, right? Letting people know which banks, which, you know, kinds of accounts are safe, right? And there's also a lot of predators out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in our own community around financial services, mm-hmm. right? And so the key is for all of us to keep that information flow going, to do the education. We're trying to build out right now a financial education program for employers. So, for example, you all could have something that you provide, or we help you provide mm-hmm. to your employees. Yeah. So they have all this information as they're going through sort of their sort of planning. Right. So going back to the conversations, though, it's the trust conversations, have them before they happen. It's preventative. Right. Mm-hmm. Also starting with that health issue. Right. Mm-hmm. Because as our parents are now getting older, you can say, you know, we want to make sure that mom and papi have this in order so that we can help protect them when they get sick.
Right.
Because everyone's going to get sick at some point. That's just the nature of the beast. Right. And there are a lot of insurance types of programs that you can sometimes build into so that, you know, you have some money for protection around health issues. Maybe someone needs to come in and, you know, you need an extra pair of hands. There are certain kinds of policies that will help you do that.
Health insurance policies?
Exactly. So those are the kinds of conversations. You have the conversation kind of bottom up, mm-hmm. right? Starting from a different place than the sort of traditional legacy planning. But then once you have that, you can start to get into you uncover other information.
And all of this information you have in your website.
Yes, we have, once you become a member, and it's free, so it's free accounts, we have them in different sort of sections, right? So we have life planning, and you can click on it, and we're going to walk you through the basics of that.
Awesome. That's
right?
Awesome. That's amazing.
So that's what's key to this, is that you don't have to do all of it at once.
Yeah.
But you have to start somewhere. So you start with your own house, right? Clean your own house first kind of thing, right? So do you have life insurance? Do you have a 401k? Are the beneficiaries, by the way, the beneficiaries is also on your 401k plan, right? It's the same thing as the life insurance. It's a contract. So make sure you fill that out. Lots of young people graduated from high or from college, first job, they get a 401k. They kind of just do it. They don't have no idea what they're doing, but they just do it. And they don't even put a beneficiary down because they don't understand that term.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about the 539.
529.
529.
Yeah.
529. Sounds like a beer.
it's a number in the tax code.
Okay.
Everything comes back to taxes.
It's
a great name for a beer.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that. That's right. Education.
Yeah. So basically 529 plans are set up by states. Mm-hmm. So it's a state run plan to help parents save for education costs. It's that simple.
Oh, that's
it. And what it does is it allows you to put some money in and you get a slight tax benefit, right? So it can be part of your sort of tax planning. So if you give so much, you can write that off on your taxes depending on the state. The great thing about it is that anybody can contribute. So if you have grandparents, aunts, uncles, all of those people that for when you have a birthday, have them contribute to the 529 plan. Great. You don't need all the gifts. Yes. Give some money, mm-hmm. presents. I say Christmas should be about family. Let's bring it back to that. If you have children, most of that money should be spent in the 529 plans. You're putting that money away. What happens is that the state basically is running an investment program and they're going out and they're investing that money. So it gets the money, but it's always safe and secure. You will always have your principal.
That should also be done for new time moms or even just third time.
That's part of what you do.
But you should do that like to save for preschool or to save for daycare.
Well, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, you can't use it for preschool or daycare. It's only for education, for college, higher education.
But that's also a good idea. Like instead of giving me a present, like can you
just
give me money so I can pay for my daycare? Because daycare is so expensive.
That's a new app.
Yeah. Like instead of like a honeymoon fund, like can you fund my child's daycare?
Preschool is insane. I know.
Preschool is college tuition.
College tuition, exactly.
And it comes so much sooner than college.
Exactly. So again, time is the thing that is essential to all of this, right? It's not how much you invest, it's how long you invest. So the first, your baby shower should be the launch of your 529 plan for your child. Maybe instead of presents, like how many diapers, how many onesies do you need, right? You probably have some because you have two other kids, right? So be like, you know, contribute to the 529. You can open it and anybody can gift it.
Is it like a link that here's my link to the 529 deposit?
Right, or they can Venmo you money and you can put it in there. There's all kinds of ways to do it, right? Okay. But you can open them up at the state level. For example, my mom lives in New Mexico. She has a 529 plan in her state because she wants the tax write-off. So it's set up in my child's name. Mm-hmm. So even though he lives in New York, it doesn't matter. So you can set them up in different states depending on where that person is.
And they can access it until they're a certain age and only if they're going to school?
School, yes. But the thing about the school is that it's pretty now, they're varied now. So it's community college. It's higher education. It's if they don't use it, let's say they get a full ride at college, they can use it for graduate school. There's books,
housing,
lodging, any kind of miscellaneous up to a certain amount of money, miscellaneous, but books, tuition, housing, the food plan.
And what do the kids decide to not pursue college?
Okay, so you can transfer the beneficiary. Okay. So if child X decides they're not going to do it, you can transfer that to child Y, right? So that's good. The other thing is, and this is for those that are you know, in their early 20s, you can actually set up a 529 plan for yourself. And you can use it for grad school. So let's say I'm 23. I don't know if I'm going to go to school today or tomorrow, or, you know, I might go to grad school, I might not. You can actually use that money, though, for grad school. You can also use it for coding boot camp, plug to Sabio, which is a great coding boot camp up in LA, changing lives, Latino owned.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to them. But now you can
How old do you have to go to be to go there?
I think you can be any age.
Oh, I kind of want
to
do that.
Right. And so they've had lots of success in transitioning people right out of college to become coders and dev and go and work in tech.
Oh, wow.
So people that are going to college and saying, look, there's more money to be made in tech, or I want to do something different. It's a school.
So any sort of education.
Yes, correct. As long as it's certified. So nowadays there's a lot of certifications.
And let's say like they just don't want to go to school and like you only have one kid. Like is that money then?
You could transfer to a nephew, niece. It could go to anyone.
Oh, can you just cash out?
You can. I think there's a penalty.
If it doesn't go to education.
Yes. There is some kind of a penalty. I don't remember exactly what that penalty is, but it's a slight penalty. Yeah. So, you know, but if you've left that money in long enough, it's grown.
Yeah.
Your principal is still going to be your principal.
Right. Got it.
Right.
Got it. Awesome. That's a lot of information. Okay. Well, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll come back with our Super Mom Picker Tip of the Week.
Great.
And we're back with a Super Mama Picker Tip of the Week. We're talking about kids and family and children. And just, I mean, this is so much information. I'm still trying to process it. Speaking about money and talking to your kids about money, it's always...
It's a whole conversation.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. It's one of these things, you know, like it's a necessary conversation.
Yeah.
It's absolutely necessary. It starts
since early age.
And I'll tell you what, sort of, you know, Caucasian families, white families, they talk about money early on. Mm-hmm. It is mm-hmm. a standard conversation.
Money and sex, right? The two money things we don't talk about.
And the things that have been a little bit like a hindrance for right? us.
And like both of these things have been the challenge. And this is why we are where we are today.
Because you don't talk about things. Communication is key, right? In anything, right? And so, again, we don't want to have shame. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to have shame about money and sex. And that's key, right? And that leads, if when you don't have shame and you're empowered and you feel like you know something, it leads to healthier behaviors in all of those areas, right? Like, it's that simple. So, I mean, I have a 15-year-old and, you know, one of the things that I've done throughout time is really just embedded conversations around money into everything we do. One is because I've always been struggling. You know, it's always sort of like hustling as a single mom. But also because he has had access to a lot of stuff that I never had to had access to, I wanted to make sure he understands that this isn't about entitlement. You don't deserve those Nikes or that type of, you know, clothing, or you don't just walk into a store and assume you're always going to get something. Yeah. Right. And so you don't have to be harsh about it, but it's learning the value of money in everything we do. So a couple of things that I did with him pretty early on. One is when they were really small, right, is that making sure he didn't think that every time he walked into a store, he got something. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't, I know, and it's so easy, right? They walk in and it's like, oh, this little chinga that is like a dollar or whatever. But it creates, this assumption that you, when you go somewhere, that you have to buy something. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing when they're really young. It's
like, since they're like two.
I mean, how you like grab something, whether that's food, I mean, unless they're hungry, right? I mean, but that's different. But a lot of times we're just like, oh, let him get a can or let him get this thing. No, even when you're choosing cereals, right? Don't start looking at the prices. Oh, how much is this one? Oh, it's three. And it's also math skills too, right? Then they're also thinking about like the price. What is a price difference in something? And you can do that like when they're four or five because they're learning basic math.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one thing. Then sort of maybe when they're starting to get around 10 or so, it's about looking at the bill when we go out to eat. And I said, okay, here's the, you know, he'll look at the check, add it up. And I was like, so what's the tax or what's the tip? Right. So they're also doing math. It's like 10% when you're learning your decimal points systems, right? 10%. It's always X. Do the math in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's really key. Or then being able to also give that lesson about people earn their tips. This person's working. That's why we give this tip.
Right. Yeah.
So learning the value of work and money. And then when they get older, you want to start showing them whether that's how to save money. So 10% of their allowance should be going into a savings account. Mm-hmm. At my son's age, we already just now opened a brokerage account so he can start trading. So whatever his money, and that way he can learn. He's not afraid. It's like $50, it's $100. But we use, you know, Robinhood, and it's free to use. And only if he sells the stock will they take a small percentage. But that way he can understand that when he buys something, he's making someone else rich.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I'm always trying to get him to understand. You want to be the creator. You don't want to just make someone else rich. But also understanding the stock market, understanding margin. You bought that stock for $6 and now it's $12. Wow, you made a nice return.
Right.
Right.
So I think at different ages, they can learn different things. But even in that 10 to 12 is very important to start really having the conversations around money, about saving or about earning money. So the chores that they're doing, so they understand and talk about how much people usually make per hour. You're going to go mow the lawn. I'm going to give you, I don't know, $10. That's how much people make when they go to work.
Yeah. Like I said, not really.
And right next, right when they're taxed. And you should tell them.
Because you only get home 750. So either here's 10, but you need to give me 150.
And you can play around with it. You could be like, I'm actually going to have a home tax. So now I'm going to give you 10, but you're going to pay.
So true.
You are going to actually pay me because I pay for everything else. Yeah, there's a home tax on your.
Hell yes.
So make it fun, make it educational, integrate math into it, right? Because that's just part. So feeling comfortable with money. Imagine if you have a kid
and they actually go make and they take home. And like, yep, my home tax, honey, you live here.
Yeah.
For real.
For real.
Uncle Sam, Uncle Bricia, give me my money.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I mean. I guess, you know, I'm trying to think of the things that I do. And, you know, I recently, we were sharing on the podcast, like how I realized how at five, my daughter's already like, well, pay for it because you have the money, you know? And I was like, wow, that really scared me because I don't want her to feel entitled. So after that, I started doing things like, even if she comes to the restaurant and she wants a candy, which is like, you can eat, but like, you know, candy is like a treat. Right. So I always say, I talk to my staff and I said, if she wants candy, she has to pay for it. And she has money saved, you know, she has coins she saved. So, you know, I tell her like, well, you have to pay for it. And she's like, why? I'm like, because this is not free. Like, you know, even if you are here, it doesn't mean that it's free. It's not yours, you know? Or like, you know, whenever she doesn't want to eat her food, we go to a restaurant and she orders something and she doesn't touch the plate because she has vegetables. I say, well, you asked for it. So you're going to have to pay me back for it because I am paying for it. So she's starting to realize that everything's not free.
Right.
And that she has to work for it. And another thing that I try to do a lot like expose her to what I do and that I'm at work and I'm making money and it's not easy that I'm working all day and, you know, taking her with me or bringing her with me just so she can see that it's just not like I don't come and sit down and just like, you know,
absolutely.
Since really young, because I think that's important because we went through scarcity and we don't want our kids to do that, that sometimes we shelter them too much. And, you know, I just feel like, sometimes I feel like I'm too harsh, but I feel like, you know, if I don't do it now, then as they get older, it's going to get harder.
Absolutely. And that would be my kind of the third point is integrate them. I mean, as an entrepreneur, my son is fully immersed in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. This is going to help him.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows what an IPO is. He knows like what investors are. He because he's around it and the language and what I'm doing and what I'm thinking is sort of like integrated into our lives. So that's really important, especially as entrepreneurs. They need to see, oh, what is the super? What do you guys do? How do you make money? And you can explain that. Like you said, she's paying for the gum. You should say, well, we have to pay for it to be here. Right. So the way that we make our money back is that we sell it.
Right.
You know, so like little concepts, and they don't have to be harsh. It's really about learning.
Yeah. Right.
They're learning moments.
And if they don't get it now, eventually, like something will click one day in that brain and be like, oh, yeah, I get it. Or something. It's just in the subconscious.
It's in the subconscious. Stays. Yes.
They are sponges. Exactly. It'll stay.
Exactly.
Well, one of my tips that I have is just sort of like, don't forget that the best investment you can do is in yourself. I feel like a lot of times people feel like whether they're saving money or whether they do something and they forget that like you are your most valuable asset.
Right.
So invest in you and whatever that is, you know, like if you are going to buy a magazine, you know, although now I don't think magazines are perfectly free, but if you're going to buy something, make sure that it's feeding you in some way. Like make sure it's some sort of, it's adding value to you.
That's right.
The other day, my friend was like asking me about, she was like, I don't know if I should like rent a studio. It's like going to be this much. And I'm like, look, I can't tell you like what's going to be like, I don't know how much money you have. I will tell you this much. If you are putting this X amount of money in, make sure that at the end you're gonna get it out.
Yes.
So like she's an artist, so she was like, okay, so this is how much you're gonna pay in rent, right? So then are you gonna produce that many paintings right. while you're there that month? And if that the answer is yes, then go for it. If the answer is no, then it's gonna be a waste of money.
Right.
So I think a lot of times people are like, you can always, you know, the mind is something so complex, right? You can always make an excuse on why you should buy those pair of shoes right. or why you should buy that, right? But I think that number one thing is saying like invest in making yourself better right. and just focus on how can I grow and how can I, the only way I'm going to make my money grow is by making myself grow and becoming more knowledgeable and investing in things that are going to make me better.
Right. And just in, right. And think about that. Right. And it doesn't always have to be something that's not fun or mm-hmm. like frivolous, quote right. unquote. Right. Like if you are someone who is the face of your brand, mm-hmm. for example, and you feel like I need to invest in a wardrobe and I want a certain look, but you, like you said, you have to make sure that there's a return on mm-hmm. that.
Right.
And that's the accountability mechanism that you need to build into all the transactions. If I take a vacation because I am burnt out, and if I take this vacation, I will be able to work at capacity when I come back, then that vacation is worth it rather than you burning out.
Right.
Right. So it's, But again, it's
but like are you actually going to relax and not, right. and like not a waste of time, you know, or are you creating True. Something that, so I think like a lot of times, like it's, again, you just have to make sure that whatever you put in, you're going to come back tenfold.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
not, you know, so that's your show for today.
Oh my God.
That's so great.
I know.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to keep going. There's so many, so much, so much more. We need to have you back.
And, we will.
You know, girls, if you want to hear something specific, let us know. So next time Ramona's here, we can talk about those things. And there's so much we can learn from you. There's so much information. There's, you know, there's, this is like a college level education that we're getting here. So any questions, mail us, send us, your messages through our website, supermamas.la. Send us a message on our Instagram @_supermamas, Instagram, Twitter, or on our Facebook, Supermamas Podcast. Please, where can they find you, Ramona?
Yes. So they also can find us on Instagram @mymoneymyfuture. And so they can also just send us, follow us one and then send us questions. Mm-hmm. And we also post and like a lot of your guys' stuff. So we're sisters, sister friends on IG. You can also find us on Facebook @mymoneymyfuture and our group. You can go to our site, mymoneymyfuture.co, and sign up for our newsletter and also resources. For the account, which is going to help you guide you through some of this stuff.
Free
and
it 99.
Is free. Always will be free to you. And then we just, you know, reach out. We're pretty available all over, info@midineromifuturo.com for just questions.
Do you have seminars and stuff?
Yes, yeah, so we're doing a lot more workshops. We really want to integrate more with podcasts. We're going to be doing a lot more live events. We just had one here in LA last week. And so, you know, look for partnerships. So you also, if you have organizations or companies that you want us to work with, let us know and reach out.
That's amazing.
Amazing. I'm so happy for
you,
Ramona.
Thank you so much.
Well, we'll see you soon, Ramona.
Absolutely.
And then we'll see you, our Supermamas, next week. Until next time, Supermamas!
Supermamas!
Bye!